different portions of the Word of God this evening, and just a brief message I have tonight. The first one in Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. And I just really like to look at one word this evening, and that word is found in each one of the three passages that we're going to read, and it is the word remission. Now, we don't use the word remission very much these days. I guess sometimes when you do hear of it, is you maybe would know somebody that that has had cancer, and they would say that their cancer is in remission. But the idea of remission when it comes to the scriptures is the idea of being sent away. So I guess maybe that's it does have a similar idea to remission as far as a cancer, that it's not there, it's not dominant. It's the idea to send away. It has the idea of forgiveness, deliverance, to set at liberty. It has the idea of to be set free from a penalty that is upon us. It has the idea of separating the sinner from his burden of sin. So separating the sinner, the man or woman, boy or girl, from the burden of their sin. So each one of us that are born, we're born sinners, and we have a burden of sin. And you could maybe picture it this way, that burden of sin is stuck to us. We are not able to shake that burden of sin. We're not able to get rid of it on our own. No amount of good deeds will be able to get rid of that burden of sin that we are carrying. That burden of sin needs to be removed. And it needs to be removed by another. It needs to be removed by someone that is able. So the idea of remission, the idea of having that burden of sin that is upon the sinner removed, so then they are made right with God and ready for heaven. We'll just read a couple of verses here. The first in Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, and we'll read verses 46 and 47. Luke 24 and verse number 46. And when we read, we're going to look for that word, our key word for this evening, the word remission. So verse 46 reads, "And said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." So verse 47, that repentance simply means a change of heart, a change of direction, a change of mind. I was once going this direction, but now I'm going to turn from that direction and turn towards God and to his Son and to the things of God. Repentance towards God and remission of sins, faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And this message of repentance and remission, it should be preached in his name, in the Lord's name, among all nations. And it began at Jerusalem. So possibly you've been coming to gospel meetings and you hear a number of different terms being used. The key word that I'd like to look at this evening is the word remission. And you may be thinking, well, the last time you spoke, maybe you spoke on forgiveness or being saved, and there's all these different words. And do all these words mean the same thing, or do all these words mean a different thing? Well, actually, both answers are correct. They do mean the same thing, in essence, but they have a slightly different emphasis on what it is trying to get across. So if you're here tonight and you're saved, you've been saved by the grace of God, there's been a time in your life when you've accepted Christ as your Savior, you have experienced and you have received the remission of your sins. That means the penalty of your sins at that point of salvation, the penalty and weight of your sins was removed off of you. Now, when I was saved, I realized that I was saved, that I was ready for heaven, but I didn't know about the word remission. I wouldn't have been able to explain it to you. I would have heard the word and been familiar with the word forgiveness, but I really wouldn't have been able to explain it. You see, it's not really so much understanding all of the definitions of these words, even though that's important. What it is it's coming into a relationship with the Lord Jesus, recognizing I have sinned against him. My relationship is broken because of my sin with God. And that relationship, if I'm going to be in heaven, if I'm going to come to God, something needs to be done about my problem of sin. I can't do anything about it, but God has done something. He has provided the Savior. He has died on the cross, and the Savior is able to bring us back to God. So it's all about a relationship. So all of these different terms mean primarily the same thing with a different emphasis. The idea of being saved, for example, is the idea of being rescued, being taken from a place of danger to a place of safety. Tonight we're going to look at the word remission, and that is the idea of having a burden and that burden being removed. One way I could maybe illustrate this, although it's not a good thing to tell somebody else's story, but there is an individual that once told the story, and I won't tell you who it was, of walking up a hill on a very, very hot afternoon. And there was a lady in front of him walking up the hill with a very, very large basket on her head. I'm not sure what was in the basket, but as the story goes, it was very, very heavy. It was 4 o'clock in the afternoon, one of the hottest parts of the day, humidity is high. And this woman is walking up the hill very, very, very slowly, and she's sweating. The man comes up behind her and says something like this, "Would you like me to carry your burden for you?" Now, the man that took her burden, this basket, from off of her head, did not carry it on his head, but he carried it in his arms. And as the story goes, as this man goes up the hill, carrying this heavy basket in his arms, the woman follows behind him, and he hears her say this, "Ah, that feels better." Why did it feel better? Because there was a burden that she was carrying, a burden that was heavy, a burden that was weighting her down, and that burden had been removed because it had been taken by another. That is the idea of remission. It is being a burden that one carries being taken away and borne by another. So the idea of being saved, forgiven, excuse me. You may have heard that the term being born again or being born into the family of God, that's really the same idea. You may have heard the word of being justified, being made right with God. All of these things mean the same thing. It's a relationship that begins at the point of conversion, the point of salvation, where there is a relationship with between an individual and the God of heaven, made possible by the work of the Lord Jesus, a relationship that starts at a point in time and a relationship that will never end and will go out into eternity. So here in Luke chapter 24, we have looked at the proclamation of remission, and that repentance and remission, verse 47, should be preached or proclaimed in his name. The proclamation of remission. God has promised to bless when his word is spoken, when it is preached. God hasn't promised to bless what I say about his word, but God has promised that when individuals get up and they herald forth, they tell out God's word, and they proclaim the remission of sins from the scriptures, God has promised to bless it. Notice in this verse that it is preached or it is proclaimed in his name. Now that's very, very narrow, isn't it? We're going to see a little bit later as we come down the verse that there is something that is very broad in contrast, and that is among all nations. So let's look at the narrow part first. What I mean by narrow is that it's very selective, it's very particular, that The gospel, the proclamation of the remission of sins, is to be preached in his name. Tonight, we don't present to you anyone else. There's no one else that is worth speaking of. The one that we present to you, the one that we speak to you of tonight in relation to the remission of your sins, we present to you the Lord Jesus Christ. It is very specific, very narrow. It's just him. There's no other that is able to remove that burden of sin that you carry. But as I've mentioned, as we come down the verse, that this message of repentance and remission of sins, it should be preached in his name among all nations. What a great thing. We live in a world that is very divided. Likely some of you have seen pictures or videos of the war in the Ukraine, and there's one thing that has really impressed me, if that's the right word, that has really struck me. It's a better choice of words. That has really struck me in seeing some of those pictures of the Ukraine. It doesn't look too much different than Manitoba. And as you drive through some of these parts in rural Manitoba, it reminds you of some of those scenes, some of those landscapes that you see of the Ukraine. The landscapes are so similar, but the situation is so different. Here we live in relative peace and quiet. We live in relative prosperity and safety. And yet there are others in a land that looks like ours. And it's war-torn. There's people that live in fear. There's people that die every day. So there's a disparity. There's a difference. We live in two different countries, somewhat similar climate. And it's so different. So things change depending upon where we are in the world. Different people in certain countries have other benefits and have other advantages that maybe other African countries don't have. But here is a message that can be preached amongst all nations. This is a message that we can take out to those on the streets of Winnipeg or into rural Manitoba. And there are those tonight, well, they've already done it, that have, in the Ukraine, have preached this same message of the remission of sins. And they can preach that message in the Ukraine because it applies there as well. There is none that is excluded. It is to be preached amongst all nations. That simply means that this message is for you. This message of the remission of sins, the removal of your burden of sin, God wants you to know that this message is for you. There's no one that can truthfully say, I was left out, or it wasn't for me. Quite a while ago, I did something that was a little bit embarrassing. I managed to pick up, and I'm not sure how it happened, I managed to pick up coupons, and I don't remember, it was for a fast food restaurant, so let's say something like Burger King. And I'm not too sure how I got it, maybe I got it by mistake, and I'd taken it in and handed it to, I remember what it was. It was coupons that I picked up here in Manitoba, and we were on a trip to Vancouver. And I handed the coupon in for KFC to the girl at the counter at a KFC in Saskatchewan. And she looked at it and scanned it and was like, sorry, sir, it doesn't work. She looked it over and only to be used in Manitoba. See, there were restrictions. I went to the right place, I ordered the right meal, but that little coupon only allowed me to buy a meal at a discounted rate here in Manitoba. I was disqualified because I had the wrong coupon, not with God. This message is for you. There's no one that's going to be able to say, I wasn't able to receive God's salvation because it wasn't offered. Or I wasn't able to receive it because I was too bad. Or I wasn't able to receive it because I didn't know about it. No, this message is for all, and it is for you. You may ask this evening, why is it to be preached in his name? Well, it's because Christ is the one that has suffered to take away your burden of sin. For Christ hath once suffered for sins, the just one, which is Christ, for the unjust, those are us, those of us that are sinners, all of us, for the purpose that he might bring us to God. So it's to be preached in his name because he is the one that has suffered for sins. But not only that, it's to be preached in his name because he is the one that has risen again. There's many people in this world that will have gone to their place of worship, and sadly, they will have very diligently and very reverently bowed down to an idol, or maybe a statue of someone that has lived and is now in the grave. But the one that we want to present to you tonight is a living Savior. And the message is to be preached in his name, because he has suffered for sin, and because he is alive tonight. He has risen from the dead. This sets him apart from all others. It is to be preached in his name, which really means that it needs to be preached with his authority. It is his authority that is behind the message. It's not what we're saying. If it's just what we were saying, you could either take it or leave it. But when it comes with his name and preached in his name and with his authority, it is something that we must reckon with. And because of the work of Calvary, there is no limit to the work that he completed. He finished the work. Everyone is included in the offer of salvation, the offer of the remission of sins. Let's go to our second reading, and it's the book of Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 22. Hebrews 9 and verse 22, just the second half of the verse, and without shedding of blood is no remission. If we were looking, first of all, at the proclamation of remission from the book of Luke chapter 22, here in Hebrews 9 we have the price of remission. In the Old Testament times there were individuals, and God had set it out this way, that when they sinned they were to bring a sacrifice. And that sacrifice would cover their sin, that penalty of sin, for a certain time. There was a covering for sin. Now, all of those sacrifices pointed forward to when the Lord Jesus, the ultimate sacrifice, would come, and sacrifice that he would make at Calvary. But the sacrifice at Calvary was different in that it didn't cover sin. It didn't cover sin for a time, but it atoned for sin. And that is the tremendous thing of the work of Calvary, is that it is a sacrifice that will never need to be repeated. It is a sacrifice that has pleased God, and he is well pleased with his Son. So a price has been paid. What was that price? It was precious blood. If sins were going to be forgiven, God operates on the same principle in the New Testament, in this day of grace, as he did in the Old Testament. A sacrifice must be offered. And at the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ suffered, and he shed his blood so that you and I may have our sins and the debt of our sins removed. At the cross, the Lord Jesus was punished for sins that were not his own. He was perfect. He was holy. He didn't deserve to die, but he was willing to take the place of those of us that the Bible calls ungodly or unjust. He was my substitute. He took my place. Has there ever been a point in time in your life when you've recognized that when he died at Calvary, when he suffered for sins, when he shed his blood, he was there, dying for my sins? So the price of remission. I'd like to just close with the thought of the promise of remission. And we're going to go to Acts chapter 10 and read from verse number 38. So we have the proclamation of remission. It is to be preached in his name, and it's to be preached amongst all nations, all people. We've got the price of remission. There must be the shedding of blood. One thing I forgot to point out in that verse in Hebrews, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Notice how definite it is. If there is no shedding of blood, there is no removal of that debt of sin. Christ had to suffer. He had to bleed and die. Otherwise, there was no way possible for us to have the remission of sins. Acts chapter 10, and I'm just going to read verses 40. Peter is preaching, and he's telling a bit about the life of the Lord Jesus. And in verse 39, he's accusing the Jews of slaying him and hanging him on a tree, the end of verse 39. Verse 40, he tells the audience that God is the one that raised him the third day. And there were witnesses to him in resurrection. But verse 43, to him gave all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall have remission of sins. The promise of remission. Let's just look at those three phrases. Phrase number one, that through his name. Phrase number two, whosoever believeth in him. Phrase number three, shall receive remission of sins. Let's look first of all at the power. The power behind the promise says that through his name. We've looked already this evening that the idea of in his name as the idea of with his authority. It's with his authority, we already looked at that it is preached, but it says that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall have remission of sins. So this promise that is given comes with the authority of God himself, that through his name, through the Lord's name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. He has the authority to save. He has the authority to deliver. But let's think of the person in this promise. It is the person that is guaranteeing this promise. And he is the one that you need to trust this evening for the remission of your sins. It says, whosoever believeth in him. You see, he is the focus of the gospel. He is the focus of our entire meeting this evening. It's him. It is Christ. It is the one that died for you on Calvary's cross. But notice the word whosoever. Whosoever believeth in him. Whosoever, or we may say whoever. I've often heard it described this way. That's me, that's you, and it's everybody else. It's all of us. Any one of us individually, if we were to believe in him, to put our faith and our trust and our confidence in him as our Savior, the one to take me to heaven, what do the scriptures say? That they shall receive remission of sins. Notice it doesn't say, whosoever worketh shall receive remission of sins. Whosoever is good, no, it doesn't say that. Whosoever believeth. When it's the thought of believing, it's really just accepting what another has done. It's not about ourselves, it's not about what we have done, but it is trusting and believing in what he has done for me. So the power, the person, but then the promise of remission. I love that word shall. It's definite, it's certain. Whosoever believeth in him shall what? Shall receive. It's something that God wants to give you. He wants to give you a gift, and he is securing it by a promise. What is this gift that he wants to give? What does he want? What does God want you to leave with tonight from this meeting? It's the last three words of the verse. The remission of sins. God wants to remove from you your burden of sin. Completely and totally. Make you right with him. Bring you into a relationship with him because of the work of Christ on the cross. A relationship that would start at this moment, if you were to trust him, and a relationship that would never end. You would have him as your best friend through all of this life. and you would be with him for all of eternity. Shall, guaranteed, certain, secure, permanent, shall receive a gift, the remission of sins. I must close, but as we do, and as we sing a final hymn, if there's someone here that has not trusted Christ as their Savior, you carry, just like that lady was carrying that large basket on her head, a burden that was weighing her down. If you're carrying a large burden of sin, that burden of sin that is taking you down to hell into the lake of fire, you want that burden removed. Christ will do it if you'll only allow him to take it, and you will receive the remission of sins. Let's pray.